This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, guys? It's Braden Suprenant. I want to thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Braden Suprenant Show. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at B_SURP. And be sure to tune in every Sunday for the Braden Suprenant Show from 8 to 10 in the morning right here on 97.3 The Fan. Enjoy the show, guys.
All right, time for pointless discussion on the College Football Playoff Ranking Show. I'm Braden Suprenant. Thanks again for tuning in. Live and local each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan. This entire thing always has a lot of controversy because it comes down to what metrics are you really using and how are you using them to benefit your own particular school. And that seems to be the case a lot. I got my buddy who's a Penn State fan arguing that I said Notre Dame in front. But I'm just saying, what are we counting in terms of ranked wins? Because I think that's how you evaluate Penn State and Notre Dame. Why is Notre Dame ranked in front of Penn State in general? Well, they do have the local advantage on Penn State. And they're 11-1 on the season. Penn State's got two losses. But again, you can't punish Penn State for playing an extra game, especially comparing them to a school that doesn't even have a conference. But you look at the two schedules back-to-back. Penn State's got victories over Illinois, who was ranked at the time. And that's the only ranked win that they have on their schedule at the time. And some of these schools aren't even ranked anymore anyway. I think Illinois still is. I mean, so they got the one ranked win. Notre Dame beat A&M, who was ranked at the time. I don't really want, I mean, and then it gets to Louisville, Army, and Navy. I mean, are those really ranked wins? Army is. I mean, Army won their conference, and they are ranked in the top 25. So even though the Illinois win's probably more impressive than the Army win, it's still a ranked win. So if you're doing current ranked games in which you have won, and or games that were teams that were ranked at the time, Notre Dame's got more than Penn State does. Common opponents, USC and Notre Dame. I don't really know. I can't really view that as a 49-35 victory for Notre Dame. That game kind of got out of hand late. I mean, USC was driving to win and threw two fluke pick sixes at the end, where Penn State was in a nail biter with SC too. I mean, that game is pretty much the same. It's a very comparable schedules between the two. I just think the committee is going to pick Notre Dame over Penn State. Not necessarily thinking that they really deserve it. But just because the team is, just because you don't think that they're good and they're ranked, they're still ranked. Still a ranked win, whether you like it or not. It's So now we're getting all the analysts in here. How about Kirk Herbstreit saying that he doesn't have any opinion on any matter? You know, because obviously everything happened with Florida State last year. He's like, I hope everybody gets a trophy and everybody wins out. I mean, that's kind of like, and I'm not condoning like sending any of these guys death threats because that's insane. But you get paid to give your opinion. That's why you're on the show. That's why you get the money from the place to be on the show is to give your opinion, and people aren't going to like it. I mean, I got my own friend right now yelling at me about Penn State. I mean, it's opinion based. That's what makes this thing kind of a sham in general. Is it's everybody's opinion on who they think is good based on random metrics that some people value more than others. This is what they used to do in high school football, except it was a bunch of coaches trying to pick who deserves to be in the playoffs. Now they have a computer ranking system. People still upset about that. Again, I mentioned before going into the final hour, I think Oregon's going to get the number one seed. I'll take Georgia as the number two. Arizona State's probably the three. I'd go Boise State four. And again, I'm going off metrics. I can't do too much eye test. If I did eye test, Penn State would probably be ahead of Notre Dame. But if you're talking strength of schedule and you're talking about quality wins and quality losses and all that stuff like that, I think Notre Dame's resume plays out a little bit better than Penn State's. Notre Dame went on the road and played Texas A&M. Penn State played West Virginia, who fired their coach. And then beat Bowling Green by 7 points at home. I mean, you know, and a loss for Northern Illinois for Notre Dame, I think that has to play a factor. But it's a very, Notre Dame's got more quality wins than Penn State does. USC, not good, 6-6. UCLA, not good. Illinois, ranked, good win. Wisconsin, not good. One of the worst years they've had in decades. Washington, not good. Purdue, not good. Minnesota, not good. Maryland, not good. Oregon, good, lost. Ohio State, good, lost. So based on the metrics, I'd take Notre Dame over Penn State. Based on the eye test, I think Penn State plays better than Notre Dame. But I'm not a big eye test guy. I'd rather do it on what you have accomplished on the field, and what Notre Dame has accomplished, which is not even that impressive, is a little bit better than what Penn State has. So I'd have Notre Dame come in at number six behind Texas at five. But then again, this is the problem with this whole playoff system. And then you start looking at Texas. Well, what has Texas done? With that entire sequence I just went through, what's the difference between Texas and Penn State? Texas in the SEC? Okay. Texas beat Michigan? How do we know Penn State would have beat that Michigan team by way more points? We don't know. They didn't play each other in conference this year, which is dumb. What has Texas done that's better than Penn State? What is Texas's best win? A&M? What's that different than Penn State? I guess they got a better win. I mean, is beating A&M on the road better than beating Illinois at home? Probably. But aside from that one win in a rivalry game, the schedules are not that much different. The top five team that they played, they lost to. And they lost to them twice. Same thing with Penn State. It's the two losses are the same. Mississippi State, not very good. Lost to Arizona State, matter of fact. So if you start breaking it down, Penn State and Texas, why does Texas deserve to be ranked ahead of Penn State? What have they done to deserve to be ranked ahead of Penn State? Maybe it should be Notre Dame 5, Penn State 6, Texas 7. Seriously, look at the resumes back to back of who they played. Are we counting ranked wins against teams that are currently ranked? Are we counting ranked wins against teams that were ranked at the time? I mean, Vanderbilt's technically a ranked win for Texas right now. Vanderbilt finished the SEC with a losing record in the SEC. Is that a ranked win? Is it not a ranked win? This is the stupidity of this thing. I'm just talking with just breaking down two teams in general. It's dumb. Is Oklahoma a ranked win or are they not a ranked win? Is that a good win for Texas? Is that a good loss for Alabama? Can't be a good win for Texas and a bad loss for Alabama. What's Oklahoma? I mean, this is all the nonsense and it's all opinions that lay this thing out. But if you look at Texas' schedule and you look at Penn State's schedule, give me a reason why Texas deserves to be ranked ahead of Penn State. If your reason is they beat A&M, sure. I mean, that's one data point, though. I think the schedule Penn State played is a lot better than the one Texas played. Texas played Colorado State, Michigan, and went 500. UTSA, Louisiana Monroe, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, Georgia lost, Vanderbilt, Florida, Arkansas, Kentucky, Texas A&M, and then Georgia again. What gives Texas the benefit of the doubt over Penn State? I don't know. Couldn't tell you. I think you can make the argument that you could go Oregon, Georgia, Arizona State, Boise State, Penn State, Notre Dame, Texas, Tennessee, Ohio State. You could do that. I mean, those middle groups are all pretty much going back and forth with each other. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We do have some time. Again, they're recapping everything right now before they get the playoff selection out there. Let's get to a phone call while we have the opportunity. Let's go out to Kevin in Chula Vista. Kevin, what's going on?
Morning, Braden. Thanks for having me again. I'm just having a hysterical laugh at all of this college football mental gymnastics that is history actually repeating itself over and over. Yes. You know, and I want to get to Sean Lewis after this, if I may. But, you know, back when I was growing up, which was before you were born, we had a system. It was not a good system, but it was a system called the polls based on AP, UPI, and there might have been one other out there. I can't remember. We ended up with your champions based on the polls. Okay, left for great arguments at the end of the season. And actually, you know, it was fun because, you know, you could, you know, sit here and have these same conversations. But the positive side was the bowl system was intact. They made sense. The conferences were intact geographically and otherwise. They made sense. And we've thrown all of this away for now this other playoff system that was supposed to go from 4 to 6 to 12 that was supposed to solve all this. And what are we talking about on this day? The same bunch of stupid idiot debates about, well, this team didn't get in and that team should get in and that team got out and all. Come on, man. I mean, you got what you wanted, folks, with your playoff.
Hold on a second, Kev. I'm going to cut you off. No, we did not.
All right.
We did not get what we wanted. And I'm tired of hearing that argument. No, BS. We did not get what we wanted. We wanted a playoff in which you won it on the field and you didn't have 12 angry men discussing, men and women, like it's a jury verdict for a court case. That is not what we wanted. But that is what they gave us because they want to control the narrative still and they want to control what's going on. That is not what any college football fan wanted. With the 4-team playoff, they didn't want a bunch of people in a room making up excuses for why their team should be in because they get better TV ratings. They wanted a fair playoff where you win your conference and you're in and you win it on the field. That's what college football people, it's not just the 12 teams. It's never been about the teams. It's been about how you seed and how you get teams into the playoff. That is what it's been about. So college football fans have never been given what they have wanted since day one. I had to correct you on that, but go ahead.
Okay, I that's not the context that I meant. I agree with everything that you said, but the context that I'm talking about, Braden, is exactly the things that you pointed out that were unavoidable to begin with, which was the people in the dark room, the networks, they were not going to step aside. And I think you would agree with that in reality.
They're paying the bills.
Right, exactly. So I'm saying we got a 12-team playoff. It's not what we wanted. I agree with everything that you said. But the context of it is they're never going to, the powers that be are never going to step out of this thing and make this the type of utopian system that we ask for. It's just not going to happen. So in the meantime, my point is, we had a bowl system that's not worth a damn anymore. Why are we having a holiday bowl when half the players can theoretically bow out of this thing for various other reasons? I mean, you just go right down the list. So that's where I'm coming from, is that the entire system, for everything that was supposed to have been brought to make it better, has actually, I think you can make the argument, it ain't gotten any better. We've just chased our tail in circles, and now we're, instead of two teams are arguing about the top, which we used to with AP-UPI, now we're arguing about 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So we didn't gain anything out of this. That's my point, and I think you would agree with that.
Yeah,
Sean Lewis, I got to ask you something.
Go ahead.
Can I ask you a question about Sean? Okay.
Absolutely. We got right now, they still haven't given us a bracket because they're going to talk about all the things we've talked about for a month instead of just giving us the 12 teams that we need that everybody's waiting for. So go ahead. We got time to kill, Kevin.
We got time to kill. Anyway, so you and I are on the same page. It's a context issue, but nonetheless. So Sean Lewis, you're a coach. If you have a team, Braden, that goes through the season and regresses, doesn't pick up your system, and is still committing over 100 yards in penalties, as an example, wouldn't you as a coach step back, take a look at yourself and say, well, maybe this crew here that I picked can't do what I wanted to do, and maybe this is something that the coaching staff needs to take a deep look at, considering they had an entire offseason of practices and they went through an entire season and the team, instead of getting better and showing improvement, gets worse. At some point, don't you think the coach needs to step up publicly and say, maybe I need to take a look at all of this and see where this whole thing broke down?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things with that. It's not all of his guys. I mean, he still inherited a lot of players and they're in a tough spot where he's trying to get players to come to a place that doesn't have the same resources in getting kids as some of these other schools do, and he's got to take a lot of chances. And to me, I mean, again, with the system that he has, there's only so much you can do to like redo your entire system. And the thing is you got to do something that you believe in, and the system that he has is something that he believes in and stuff that has worked before in the past. So with that particular case, I mean, there's only a couple adjustments you can make to try to make things work with what you have. It's not like a high school where, you know, in reality, he doesn't have a say in what players come in and you get a different class. And, you know, maybe you can't run some of the things that you have with that certain class. But in college football, you know, it's just like the NFL. You got to go find the players that fit your system. And to me, this is the first real offseason that he gets fully to go out there and find the players in the transfer portal that help his system, to go find players, you know, and that are high school players that he might be able to be part of this deal. And again, they're in a tough spot because you almost really want to just hit the transfer portal more than recruits, because anybody that you recruit and develop, if they do play too well, they're going to be gone anyway. And they got some good news with Trey Wright staying. I think that's big news for the Aztecs. I think some of their leaders that were on the team this year staying and some continuity is going to be good. And I think it takes time. It definitely takes time. I mean, you're not going to be able to flip the script on a lot of these programs, including San Diego State. And the thing that's frustrating is you saw him play well against a team like Washington State, and then you saw him kind of collapse down the end of the season. It's tough to keep the vibes going and keep kids engaged, especially ones that are graduating and are already got one foot out the door. So you got to give Sean Lewis time. You can't drastically change your system to make everything work. It's not going to work like that. And maybe he's got to find it. He's got to find players that can fit what he got. And until we see him enter the transfer portal and go get some guys, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time for San Diego State. I give them this full offseason. If they make improvements into next year, I think they're on the right track. But my question always is you know, because a lot of people are upset with Sean Lewis, who are you going to go get that's better that wants this job in particular right now?
You know, those are great points. And they no doubt, there's no argument about needing more time. My only question is that sometimes coaches get myopia, and I understand the need to run your system, yada, yada, yada. But when, again, as you pointed out correctly, when you have the kind of turnover that you look at, I think one of the mistakes they made this year was trying to overpromise on this so-called Aztec fast when they weren't ready yet to even be Aztec competent given the turnover. So my question, last question to you, again, using your coaching experience, do you think if this team went into an offensive huddle more regularly and maybe scaled back the so-called fast no huddle to maybe the last 2 minutes of a quarter or a half, whatever, would that may have helped these kids slow down a little bit and give them time to adapt?
I mean, maybe not. I mean, not necessarily. Most teams nowadays run no huddle at all levels. I mean, it's very rare you find, especially in high school, schools that huddle up anymore. And, you know, maybe for communication. I mean, the fact that you have a freshman quarterback, I don't really care what system you run. A true freshman quarterback playing at a college level is going to be very difficult, and everything runs with him, right? So if you have a young signal caller that, you know, is not a holdback guy, or and still it's brand new to him, you know, your offense is not gonna go. It's not gonna hum as much as it would with a guy that is, you know, has experience and everything like that. And Kevin, I appreciate the phone call. We got to get going here because, you know, they're gonna start announcing these teams here in a second. But you got to know, there's a couple of things with Sean Lewis. One, you got to run what you know, and you got to be true to yourself. But at the same time, you could still make adjustments in that. And I think San Diego State did do some of that, but you can't get away from yourself because that's what makes you a coach. And the other thing, too, is when you start breaking it down on how you fix problems, you can't. It's hard to think about, like, how I would fix it normally, but how do I translate this into my new system, if that makes sense. Like, I know how to fix things with the defense I like to run. But when I have to fix things based on a defense I don't like to run and I try to, and it's not my ideal, it makes it a little bit more difficult to do. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll find out who's in the college football playoff top 12, as that's coming up next on San Diego Summer Sports Station 97.3.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
The fan. Quick break as we got the college football playoff selection committee unveiling their 12-team field, and we're going to react live to their top 12, if they will. And again, here comes all the resume comparisons and the drama. But as of right now, the number one team in the college football playoff is Oregon, as we expected. Oregon gets the number one as a conference champion. The number two is Georgia. And right now, they're, you know, putting up the resumes of Boise State, Arizona State, and Clemson. Again, you look at the resumes, Boise State's got two wins over UNLV and a win against Washington State. Those are their three best wins. Arizona State's best wins are BYU, who beat SMU, by the way, Iowa State and Kansas State, and Clemson beat Pitt and SMU. I don't know why you would put Boise State ahead of Arizona State, but we'll see who gets the number three seed as the another bye, and Boise State does not. Oh, yeah, they do. They do. They get the number three seed. They are ranked ninth in the final rankings. So Boise State will be in the Fiesta Bowl awaiting a play-in game, or should I say a first-round game. So Boise State gets a bye, which I thought they would get a bye because I think they deserved it over Clemson with three losses. But you know, the thing that was interesting to me is Arizona State, if they would have got the three, would have been playing in the Fiesta Bowl. Instead, they get the four, and now instead of playing in their backyard, they got to fly and play in Atlanta as the four if they do get the four, and they do. So they get the 12 overall rank, and they get the four seed. To me, I think the committee did that because they didn't want Arizona State to have a home game potentially against the number five team in the country, whoever that may be. So I think this is a little, I'm not a big fan of that. I think Arizona State proved that they were better than Boise State all year. They have better wins than Boise State all year. They, you know, and Boise State, their best win is really a loss to Oregon. I mean, we act like Boise State beat Oregon. They didn't. They lost by three. That's the biggest, to me, that's the biggest thing that put Boise State at number three over Arizona State was the fact they lost to Oregon by three. I don't really, I don't see it. I don't understand. But the fact that Arizona State's ranked 12th and gets the four seed is insane. They pushed them back way far down, which means Clemson's going to be 13? They have to be 13. I think that definitely, that has to tell me that Bama's out, right? I mean, if they put, unless they move Bama in front, they can't, they're not going to move Alabama in front of 12th ranked Arizona State. They got Clemson at the last spot. They come in at number 16 in the country. They get the 12 seed in the bracket. I think Arizona State being 12 is very telling. I don't see how Alabama is going to be ranked in front of them. They're going to be like 13 or 14. So as of right now, Oregon's 1, Georgia's 2, Boise State's 3, Arizona State is 4 in the seeds. Again, it's different than the rankings of the top 25. College football playoff rankings top 25. Oregon got the one, Oregon's 1, Georgia's 2, Boise State's 9, Arizona State's 12, and Clemson is 16. So Clemson as the 12 seed will be traveling to the 5 seed, whoever that may be. They would play, if they win, at Arizona, or they'd be playing in the Peach Bowl. Texas gets the number 3 spot in the country, which means they are the 5 seed since they didn't win their conference. So Texas will be the 5. They will host Clemson the 12, and that winner will play Arizona State in the Peach Bowl, which is not too bad. So that's how it works out. Texas, top at-large team in the country, at number 3 in the country and the 5 seed. So again, Oregon number 1 will play in the Rose. Georgia will play in the Sugar Bowl as the number 2 seed. The 3 seed will be Boise State. They'll play in the Fiesta Bowl. And the 4 seed will be Arizona State in the Peach Bowl. Winner of Texas and Clemson will play Arizona State in the Peach Bowl in the quarterfinals. Clemson is going to be playing at Texas, which is an intriguing matchup, the ACC versus the SEC in this one. I thought they might have had Clemson pass SMU in the deal, but they're not. So that's at the number 12 spot. Or maybe they did, and maybe SMU's out. Penn State comes in as the 6th seed. They have them 4 overall, so they do have them ranked above Notre Dame. They don't punish Penn State for playing in the Big Ten championship game, nor do they punish Texas, which I think is fair. I think it's fair. So Penn State, the 6th seed, will host a game in the first round, and if they win, they'll be in the Fiesta Bowl against Boise State. So Penn State going to host as a 6th seed. If they win, they will play Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl against the number 3 seed. Very interesting matchup, and they will not get Notre Dame. Notre Dame will get the 7. So they rank 7. They rank Notre Dame 5th in the college football top 25, which gets them the 7 seed in the tournament. Notre Dame will get a home game as the 7, and they will play, if they win, Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, which is going to be a home game for Georgia, even though it's in New Orleans, but got a southern team in the south. That should be a potential good matchup as Notre Dame will host a first-round playoff game as the 7th seed. They come in at number 5. Here's where things get interesting. It's kind of the range of Tennessee and Ohio State, and whether or not Tennessee will get the home game or Ohio State will get the home game as the 8 and 9 seeds in the playoff and the 6 and 7 spots in the country. And it's going to be Ohio State that gets the 8 seed, which means they think they're the 6th best team. Boogie in the chat, playoff games in the quarterfinals will be neutral sites. In the first round, they will be home games. So Ohio State gets a home game. Penn State gets a home game. Notre Dame gets a home game. Texas gets a home game. I'm thinking Tennessee is probably going to play Ohio State as the 9 at this point. But we're waiting to see. I think the comparisons are there with Ohio State and Tennessee. I find it interesting that they thought that Ohio State would be a better spot to host. And here's the deal. As Jake Waters puts in the chat on YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to have 3 cold weather matchups. With Notre Dame hosting and South Bend, it's going to be cold for that game. Penn State hosting in Pennsylvania, it's going to be a cold game. And then Ohio State and Tennessee is going to be going to Ohio State for that first game. I think you could have flipped it back and forth. I think you could have had Tennessee host. The fact that the committee gave the cold weather teams the advantage with the home field is very interesting to me. That's going to be a interesting environment, Tennessee at Ohio State. Again, even though Tennessee comes from like a warmer climate normally, at this point in the year in Tennessee, it's cold. Like it snowed in Nashville this week, and it was kind of snowing. It had some flurries in Knoxville. It gets cold in Tennessee. Probably not as cold as Ohio, but that's going to be an interesting matchup. So Tennessee as the 7th best team in the country, got the 9 seed in the college football playoff. They will be taking on Ohio State at the Horseshoe in the first round of the playoff. Winner of that game will be in the Rose Bowl against Oregon. So you're either going to get a traditional Rose Bowl game, former traditional Rose Bowl game, of a Pac-12 team and a Big Ten team, or you're going to get Tennessee and Oregon. So I guess technically it might be another Big Ten rematch, but Ohio State-Oregon rematch, really much on the table. Tennessee-Oregon, I think, would be a great matchup, too, in the next round. I think Texas-Arizona State is going to be a good matchup, potentially, if Texas gets through Clemson. I think Clemson matches up well with Texas. I think that's a pretty good game. Indiana will take on Notre Dame. You got the in-state battle between Indiana and Notre Dame. That's going to be a fun one. I like that one already. I thought it'd be kind of cool to have SMU play Texas. But you're going to get Indiana and Notre Dame in South Bend. That's going to be a hell of a game. We'll see how good it is. We'll see how good Indiana is. I mean, Indiana, again, we want to talk about strength of schedule, and I went through it with Penn State. You look at Indiana this year, 11-1, and their best win is Michigan. And that's not even a good win. So now it comes down to the final thing. It's Alabama and it's SMU. Brett McMurphy already tweeted out before they even got through this that, according to sources, SMU is in. So SMU at Penn State is going to be the matchup, according to Brett McMurphy. I mean, he got the scoop before everybody else. So we're sitting here waiting for the TV to flip it with Alabama and SMU, and they're going through the strength of record and strength of schedule and everything like that. If SMU gets punished for playing in a conference championship game, it is a debacle. It is a debacle. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think SMU is going to make the college football playoff and play Penn State with a chance to take on Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl as they keep dragging this thing along. Clemson at Texas, first round game, going to be a great one. Winner plays Arizona State. Indiana at Notre Dame, going to be a great one. In the state of Indiana. I mean, that's a great matchup in the first round. Winner has to go play Georgia down in the Sugar Bowl. I mean, every venue is a dome except for the Rose Bowl for the quarterfinals, and that should be a fun one too. I mean, Tennessee-Ohio State's a great matchup. Clemson and Texas is a great matchup. Indiana-Notre Dame's a great matchup, and there it is officially. SMU slated as the number 10 team in the country, gets the 11 seed. Alabama is out. SMU is in. Alabama is out. We got our field for the 12-team playoff. Oregon's number 1. They will be in the Rose Bowl awaiting the 8-9 matchup of Tennessee at Ohio State. Number 2 seed Georgia will be at the Sugar Bowl. They will take on the winner of Indiana and Notre Dame. Boise State, the 3 seed, will be in the Fiesta Bowl. They'll take on the winner of SMU at Penn State. Arizona State is the 4 seed. They are in the Peach Bowl. They will await the winner of Clemson at Texas. And that is your college football playoff 12-team field. First team out is Alabama. Second team out is Miami. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to react to this and finish up the show. I'm Braden Suprenant. College football playoff is now set. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Wrapping up the Braden Suprenant show here on a Sunday morning. Talk a lot of college football for you. College football playoff was just announced. And we got our field. Oregon, number 1 seed, followed by Georgia as the number 2 seed. Number 3 seed is Boise State, and the 4 is Arizona State. Those two teams getting it, obviously, to because of being conference champions. So those are how the top 4 seeds play out. And then after that, as we had our rankings just get unveiled in college football, Oregon number 1, as I mentioned, Georgia 2, and then they had... I had the thing right here. Got to pull the bracket up. Okay, Oregon number 1, Georgia 2, Boise State 3, Arizona State 4. Those are the 4 teams that have a bye. Oregon will be awaiting in the Rose Bowl. Boise State as the 3 is in the Fiesta Bowl. Georgia as the 2 in the Sugar Bowl. And Arizona State the 4 in the Peach Bowl. The number 1 seed, Oregon, will await the 8-9. That is Ohio State, the 8, hosting Tennessee, the 9 in the first round of the playoff. Winner will go to the Rose Bowl. The number 2 seed, Georgia, in the Sugar Bowl, will wait the game in Indiana. Notre Dame Fighting Irish is the 7 seed, hosting the 10th-seeded Indiana Hoosiers. Winner of that will play Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. In the Fiesta Bowl, awaiting is Boise State. They will take on the winner of SMU, the 11th seed, at Penn State, the 6th seed. And then the final one is the 5 seed, Texas, is going to host the 12 seed and conference champion Clemson for a chance to play Arizona State in the Peach Bowl. I like this. I like the 12-team playoff. You know, people complaining about Alabama not being in it, shouldn't have lost the, you know, 3 games this season to Alabama. I thought it made college football just way more fun. Down the stretch, it seemed that, you know, way better to be able to you know, put this together for college football. The last couple of weeks have been great. I mean, the conference championship games were great. They were awesome to see. Absolutely awesome to see. So it's going to be interesting to see you know, this playoff play out and everything that's tied with this. And you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what you know, what these teams got and everything like that. So I like it. I like the 12-team playoff. It'd be a lot better if you didn't have to have humans decide it. I think it should be decided on the field. But as of right now, you got to like the way it's played out. I think the committee set themselves up for a lot of problems if they left SMU out for playing a conference championship game. I think they set themselves up for a lot of problems, you know, for a lot of reasons with some of the precedent here of what gets set. Now all of a sudden we'll talk about how it needs to be expanded again. And like I told Kevin at Chula Vista, it's not about expansion. It's not about the number of teams. It's how the process is for these games, or how you determine who makes the playoff and who doesn't. I mean, that's where we're at on this right now. So for me, I'm glad we finally got to this point of the 12-team playoff, but I think we could do a lot better. But a lot of things being played out here with this, a lot of narratives, right? So the college football playoff. Anybody that was against the college football playoff expanding, how fun has the last couple of weeks been? I mean, the Big 12 was wide open. Big 12 was wide open. It was going to be BYU. Maybe it was going to be Colorado. Iowa State was battling. Arizona State was picked last in their conference. Last. They were picked last to finish last in the Big 12. They even lost their first conference game to Texas Tech. And they go on an absolute roll and make it to the Big 12 championship game. And they won, and they're in. I mean, how many times did we see in the past? And it's not really with Arizona State. They were kind of the favorite in that game. But even like Clemson, right? I mean, how many times did we watch the conference championship games? And the winner, only if the winner was one of the schools, was it going to be a they're-in-the-playoff situation, right? I mean, how many times it was like, well, this is really only a game for Michigan in the Big Ten championship game, because if they lose, they might not get the 1 or 2 seed. It might be a 3 or 4, but they're still going to be in. And if Iowa beats them, they're not even come close to being in the playoff. You know, to me, that was ridiculous. If you make the conference championship, you should be in if you win. That happened at Clemson. Clemson got into the championship game. They won. They're in. Just announced all the times and dates for these games. First round games, there will be 3 on Saturday, December 21st. There'll be 1 on Friday, December 20th. That game on December 20th will be the game in Indiana. It'll be Indiana at Notre Dame. That will be a 5 o'clock start on ESPN and ABC. The games on Saturday will be the Clemson-Texas game in Austin. That will start at 1 o'clock Pacific time on TNT. Tennessee at Ohio State will be a 5 o'clock game. That will be the night game. That will be on ESPN. And then the morning game will be SMU at Penn State. That game will be at 9 in the morning from State College, Pennsylvania. That game will also be on TNT. So TNT with the doubleheader in the first round. ESPN will have the Friday night and the Saturday night games. And then the quarterfinal games, all of the games will be on New Year's Day with the exception of the Fiesta Bowl, which will be a 4:30 kick on New Year's Eve. So a 4:30 kick Pacific time for the Boise State awaiting SMU and Penn State game. That will be the New Year's Eve game. The New Year's Day games will be the Rose Bowl, the Peach Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl. And those will, I think, be at the traditional times, if I am not mistaken, on January 1st. And that was a big deal for college football and trying to keep it, for the Rose Bowl to be a part of this thing, is to, you know, keep the same kickoff times that they have always had for the Rose Bowl. And that's what it's going to be. So the Rose Bowl will be the 2 o'clock game out here on the West Coast. The night game will be the Sugar Bowl at 5:45 on January 1st. And then the Peach Bowl will be the morning game at 10 in the morning for that one as well. It's kind of funny, like, where the ticket prices are already. I mean, you can already see them being posted for some of these games. You know, they don't have them yet for the Saturday games on December 21st, still adding it. But so far right now, tickets are as low as $245 for the Clemson-Texas game in Austin, Texas. The game on for the quarterfinal playoff game on New Year's Eve, the Fiesta Bowl, $213 get-in price right now. The Peach Bowl, which could be Notre Dame and Georgia, is already listed as the get-in price at $1,740. for that game. The Rose Bowl, about 321 bones, and the game in New Orleans, $161 for that one. Actually, it's the Peach Bowl is the Arizona State Texas game, potentially. Not the Notre Dame Georgia game, which seems a lot cheaper right now. So maybe those will change. I bet you they will. We got dates and times, we got networks, and it's gonna be fun. Now's the time to play it. And to kind of relate all of this back to San Diego State, I mean, you look at Boise State getting a first-round bye, and I didn't think they deserved it. They end up getting a first-round bye, and you know what? There's a path for the Aztecs to be a part of this thing and maybe host a game in the future, maybe be, you know, in a first-round bye. They have an ability to get there. You saw it with Boise State. They get a little bit more credit just because they have done things in the past, but at the same time, if UNLV would have beat Boise State, they would have been the college football playoff. And they would have been the 12. They would have been playing at Texas. So you could think of yourself at the spot. I mean, if you're San Diego State, you could be playing Texas in the first round of a playoff. And what would that do for the program that is San Diego State, right? So the opportunity is there, just to kind of relate it back to local programming. We will have, and I'm sure that they'll start coming out, and I know the Holiday Bowl will reveal who's coming to play here in the Holiday Bowl. I would imagine it's going to be Washington State representing the Pac-12, I guess, is what it would be, even though they're still in the Pac-12. And then I'm curious to see who the ACC team's going to be. Because I think SMU winning would have potentially set up Clemson to come from the ACC to the Holiday Bowl. But we're going to have to wait. They're going to have their unveil today at around 11 o'clock down at the at Costera, and we'll see who's coming to the Holiday Bowl. All the bowl game announcements can now finally be made with this playoff. But very interesting. Playoff selection, man. And we're going to break this thing down 100 different ways for the next couple of weeks. But, you know, you see some of these tweets, right? It's like, Oregon beat Penn State last night and was rewarded with a harder path to the semis than Penn State was. You could say that. You could say that. But the thing that makes this great and the beauty of this, especially in football, it's a war. This is a sport of attrition. And when you play good teams, you get guys get hurt, and you got to make it through a tough gauntlet. And that's what these big schools are going to do. And we lined it up, and it's time to get ready to go out there and play. Thanks again for tuning in to the Braden Surprenant Show. I'm Braden Surprenant. We're here each and every Sunday from 8 to 10. We'll have a couple of holidays off, but we will be back next Sunday. Talk some college football and everything else. Braden Surprenant Show, live and local each every Sunday morning. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks again for downloading the episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Make sure to follow me on social media at @B_SURP. Subscribe on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to tune in to the Braden Surprenant Show each and every Sunday from 8 to 10 in the morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.